This has been a particularly challenging day in the newsroom, for any newsroom in India. And you know what? In a newsroom, what is challenging is usually also more fun, more enjoyable, and more interesting. The challenge, particularly when it comes from having a multiplicity of stories competing for the top spot. So today we had three big stories break out. Of the three big stories, I had to then choose one for today's edition of Cut the Clutter. That one I will tell you first. I will list all three for you. But the first one on which I will set up this episode of Cut the Clutter, that one I will list first. So the first is the Supreme Court decision, the quick decision on anonymous electoral bonds, which should pull the curtain down on the drama, and it should close the issue. That's the one we'll talk about in some detail today, simply because it is so decisive. The second is DRDO's launch of the latest version of the Agni 5 missile. Now, Agni 5 missile has a very long range. This Agni 5 is the longest range so far. Also, this has displayed MIRV-ing capability. MIRV-ing, M-I-R-V, if you are a nerd or a buff, you would know this, but if you are not, which most people are not, so MIRV stands for Multiple Independently Targeted Reentry Vehicles. What this means in simple English is that the missile goes up, it does not carry one warhead. The missile may carry multiple warheads, and those multiple warheads then break away and go to different targets. It becomes that much tougher for the country defending itself against such a missile, because you can intercept 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You don't know how many are coming in and into and hitting which area. So that is how MIRV-ing capability adds to India's deterrent. That is the second one. And the third one is obviously Modi government notifying Citizenship Amendment Act. Now, that act was passed almost 5 years ago. It's been sitting there. There have been protests after that. The protests, if you remember, took place because this was then combined with the promise, or you might call it threat, depending on which side you are on, promise or threat of also holding a nationwide NRC, a nationwide exercise to constitute a national register of citizens on the pattern that was done in Assam, which would mean every citizen would have to then display their documentation to prove whether they are Indian citizens or not. In the course of time, NRC has been dropped. In fact, Prime Minister Modi himself has said multiple times that NRC is not an idea that's been cleared by anybody, has not been discussed. There was some campaign rhetoric talk, but this has not gone beyond that. But that CAA has been notified. Now, we had the choice also of talking about CAA, but what we have done is, since we have talked about CAA in detail in the past, I am resharing with you an edited, abridged version of our episode 1074. That's from almost about 2 years ago, of when the Supreme Court had taken up the challenge to CAA. Then we had explained to you how this works. That is an option that was available to us. That's the reason we set aside CAA for now. Maybe the missile Agni 5 we'll talk about tomorrow or in the coming days. Most important thing today, and the most urgent thing, because elections are taking place now, elections will be notified any moment. In fact, if anything, the announcement might have got delayed by a few days because the election commission at this point only has one member. Nevertheless, whether it happens tomorrow or happens in a week, soon enough elections will be notified. That's why the Supreme Court order on anonymous electoral bonds, or the so-called electoral bonds, is the most relevant thing for today, and is also the most important, the most significant for the quality and future of India's democracy. So what has the Supreme Court said? It's a 5-judge bench. Remember, it's a very powerful bench. It is headed by the Chief Justice. Of the remaining 4 judges, 3, following the current line of succession, 3 will become CJIs in the course of time. So it's a very powerful bench. They said today, February 15, they had passed an order declaring anonymous electoral bond scheme to be unconstitutional, but also ordering both State Bank of India, the issuer of the bonds, and Election Commission to reveal all data on this. Now, State Bank of India had the primary responsibility of revealing this data, which means of saying who bought these bonds and also who encashed these bonds. Those are the two sets of data that the court had asked for. The Supreme Court order was delivered on Feb 15. State Bank of India was given 3 weeks. They were supposed to give all these data by March 6. They did not do it. What they did instead was March 4th evening, that's less than 48 hours before the deadline, they sprang on the Supreme Court of India another affidavit saying we can't do it. This is very complicated. This will take us time. And because we had to maintain confidentiality, we have not kept it in our computer systems. This will have to be done manually, right? Fully manual in 21st century, in 2024 in digital India, right? And this will take us at least 3 more months, so give us until June 30. What that meant was that this will happen after not only the elections are over, new government is constituted, but much more water has flown down the Jamna. That the Supreme Court has rejected, and Supreme Court has given a bunch of orders. Now, I will briefly tell you the bunch of orders, although I'm sure you know all of these. But basically, briefly, number one, the Supreme Court has said, no question of 3 months, not even a question of 3 weeks, because Harish Salve, the noted lawyer appearing for State Bank of India, said, all right, if you're just asking me for data on who bought the bonds and who encashed the bonds, without having to draw a connection that whose bonds were encashed by whom. For example, it means if A, B, C, D, E, F, G bought this many bonds each, and H, I, J, K, L, M, and O, P encashed so many bonds each. So only dumb figures have to be given. Bank does not have to say, and the court had not demanded that. The bank does not have to say whose bonds were encashed by whom. Then he said, we might be able to give them. Now that was a little bit of a back foot play by Harish Salve and State Bank of India, because they knew that the court was not buying into their larger excuse of not being able to provide the data, because court was clear about the order they had given. So Harish Salve then tried to buy peace and time by saying, this I can give you. I had thought that you want me to draw the connection between each bondholder's purchase and issuance of the bond and encashment. So that means if A bought a bond and gave it in, that bond was directed at Mr. LKH, whatever. He said, if I don't have to draw that connection, my work is not so much, so I can give it to you quickly. Quickly means what? 2 to 3 weeks. The court said nothing of the sort. The court said, you have all the data with you. In fact, the court went back to the bank's own FAQs on electoral bonds, and they said that in your FAQs, you say that for every bond purchase, you do a proper KYC. When you do a proper KYC, you have the data, and your branches, when they do KYC, your own FAQs tell us, they send all of this to Bombay, to your headquarters. So it's all available with you. What's the big deal? So we want it by tomorrow. Tomorrow means 12th of March. So no time given. 12th of March, State Bank has to give in this data. Now this data, the court said, has to be given in two silos. So one silo is who bought these bonds? Who bought these bonds? On what date? How much is the amount? Second, who encashed these bonds? On what date? How much is the amount? Once again, at this point, there is no need to draw a connection that a bond bought by this was encashed by this. That is not needed right now. So two silos, one who bought them, and number two, who encashed them. Then they said Election Commission must reveal all data they had received from State Bank of India and from political parties by April 12, 2019. That's a very important date, because that is when a powerful Supreme Court bench, again headed by then Chief Justice Gogoi, they had ordered that so far this is an interim order. They will take a final call because elections were too close. Elections were taking place already. Election campaign was on. Results were to be out in May. So they said they kicked the can down the road. All the data that's available, State Bank should give in a sealed cover to the Election Commission and to the court. That sealed cover had been sitting with the court. The court today opened that sealed cover. What that means is that all the data, that means since the notification of the bonds in 2018, all the money that was given under the bonds before 2019 elections, that data is to be made public by the Election Commission of India. Now, The court said it should be done. It will be done by EC forthwith. They did not give a time and hour. Forthwith. But at the same time, remember the broader deadline for the Election Commission to reveal all the data they have until now is only March 15. So by the end of this week, by Friday this week, all of this has to come out. So that has been done. No doubt about it. In fact, after having done this, the court put the chairman of State Bank of India on notice and also other members of top management, saying that if this is not done in time, if these orders are not followed out, not exactly threatening it, but basically holding it out, that there could be consequences, which means there could be contempt of court. Now, that is unprecedented. The court was also angry that the State Bank's affidavit was signed by a general manager. They said this was a serious issue. The chairman himself should have signed the affidavit or should have been done at an appropriately senior level. So the judges were very, very impatient today. Now, what does this do? This data will now come out. You will know who bought, how much on which date, right? Then you will also know who cashed, how much on which date. Then journalists, democracy activists, transparency activists, their work will begin. Because even if the bank and EC don't draw a connection for you, which they can do very easily, if they really want to be transparent, they can do it in no more than a day, right? So it's only 22,000 bonds. They can do it in no more than a day. But even if they don't do it, you can draw a connection. First of all, immediately you will know which party has got bonds worth how much. That will be one dumb rounded figure. That there is no doubt about. So if one party gets 80% and 20% is then shared among all the others, you know how the dice is loaded. Whether that's true or not, we will know by tomorrow, mostly by tomorrow and definitely fully by the 15th, by this Friday. That's one. The other thing that will happen is journalists, transparency activists that will then begin to find connections. They will begin to find connections saying, oh, in between such and such and such and such date, so-and-so bought these bonds, right? Between such and such and such date, so-and-so encashed this many bonds. So most likely, these were corporate A's bonds that party H encashed. Then emails can be sent to both the corporate and the recipient party asking, did you pay money to this corporate? Or asking the party, did you receive money from this corporate? That said, the next thing that good journalists and good activists will do, they can also try and find any connection between government policy making and the encashment of these bonds. That's a bit of work that'll need real investigative work, a little bit of sleuthing, but that is very possible. In fact, we should feel deeply disappointed if that is not done. And if that wasn't the apprehension, that these connections will be drawn, then the government, State Bank of India, which is a government institution, they would not have gone such a long distance to try and keep confidentiality of this. Now, one of the arguments given, and I've been hearing this sort of floating in the air all the time, banking confidentiality, that these are banks' clients. How can the bank reveal any of this? So once again, please read carefully the electoral bonds scheme. Electoral bond scheme clearly states that those who buy these bonds, etc., they get confidentiality. That everything about the bonds will be kept confidential, except the bank cannot break that secrecy except under court orders. So that court orders exception was already given. So there are no excuses left there also. Now I will take you back to the things that these bonds did. How many corners were cut and how many laws were amended? So I will give you a quick rundown: Companies Act, Income Tax Act, Reserve Bank of India Act, and Representation of People Act. All four acts were amended through the instrument of Finance Act of 2017. So in the budget document, they also amended all these other laws, which also was a matter of argument that can you use the budget to amend all these laws? Because the budget law is a finance bill that does not have the scrutiny of the Rajya Sabha to the extent that a non-finance bill might have. So even if it falls in Rajya Sabha, your job is done. So that stratagem was used to amend these laws. Now, how did these amendments in these laws make this kind of anonymity in these bonds possible? So let me again try and explain briefly to you, because that is the nub of the matter. So, one, earlier law. What is the meaning of the amendment to Representation of People Act? Earlier, a political party had to account for and disclose all donations above rupees 20,000 that it had received. Now, that's where we had issues like, say, one party, Bahujan Samaj Party, saying, all my donors are poor people, they are giving me 5 rupees each, right? So, I may have got so many crores of rupees, but I don't have to give details. But if it was more than 20,000 for one payment, you had to disclose it. With the amendment, this amendment to Representation of People Act, you did not have to do it if money had been received through anonymous electoral bonds. So that strengthens electoral bonds. And just as amendment to Representation of People Act exempted parties from disclosing any payments above 20,000 rupees if they had come through electoral bonds, also took away the requirement or the obligation, the constitutional obligation on the Election Commission to disclose any receipts over 20,000 rupees by political parties if these had come through electoral bonds. That's how anonymity of electoral bonds was completely secured by government's flurry of amendments to existing old laws. Second, the amendment to RBI Act. RBI Act, Reserve Bank of India had initially opposed these bonds, saying that, look, these are bearer bonds. They can be traded. People can sell these to each other. They can even use these as currency. These are bonds. In India, under Indian law, the constitutional system, Reserve Bank of India is the only one mandated to issue bonds like these. How can you devolve this power to a mere bank? This should be the central bank. Now, to get around that, Reserve Bank of India Act had also been amended. Then Amendment to Companies Act. Amendment to Companies Act was made because earlier a corporate was limited in its contribution to a political party to 7.5% of its profits, average profits of the previous 3 years. Now with this amendment, not only was this limitation taken away, a company could give all its profits to a political party, but even a loss-making company could make contribution to a political party. And that is something that the judges specifically called out because they said this actually can lead to much greater misuse in the hands of a loss-making party. They said, in fact, this can lead to much greater misuse in the hands of a loss-making company. In fact, it can lead to money laundering. What was also said was that a loss-making company might be more affected by changes in government policy and may have greater incentive in making political payouts like that. And today, when you have startups with lots of money sitting in the bank from private equity, not necessarily profits, this could be a good investment for some because change in government policy could make a big difference to their fortune. So that was the amendment to Companies Act. Now, FCRA, Foreign Contribution Regulation Act, we hear about it all the time. People get raided, NGOs get shut. A lot of the NGOs have had their FCRA status denied. Earlier, an Indian subsidiary of a foreign company was not allowed to make political contribution to a party in India. That was forbidden. Now, with the amendment in Foreign Contribution Regulation Act, an Indian subsidiary of a foreign company was no longer forbidden from making contributions to an Indian political party. All these amendments, in fact, are also facing individual challenges in the Supreme Court. But the fact is that because Supreme Court struck down the scheme as such, the anonymous electoral bond scheme as such, at least in the context of these bonds, these amendments now have no meaning. Now, that done, a few questions arise. For example, some people are saying, and it's a good point, theoretically, because, you know, we are a country of jugaad, so people will always try and make use of anything to their benefit. So, one question is that what if somebody buys, say, 100 crore worth of bonds? These are bearer bonds. These can be sold very easily to somebody because there is no name on them. So, the person or the company, it will be a corporate, the corporate then buys those bonds and sells them in cash to somebody else. Who then goes and contributes to a political party. Now, that may be because so-and-so wants to contribute to a political party, can't give in cash, but maybe he's a smuggler, maybe he's a blackmailer, smuggler, mafioso, a property, illegal property, don, etc., etc. Has promised money to a political party of a certain amount for a quid pro quo, but does not have money in the bank to pay, but has plenty of money in a wheelbarrow. So give that money in a wheelbarrow to a corporate which buys these bonds. It's all theoretical. You might ask me, why would a corporate be so nutty as to buy bonds with its tax paid money and then give it to somebody for cash? Now, there can be different reasons for it. It's all theoretical. One could be that a corporate, maybe a small corporate, maybe wanting to buy property or maybe wanting to bribe somebody else instead. And that bribe also has to be given in cash. So it's not as if our cash economy has disappeared. So gets that cash and uses that cash. At the same time, gets a double benefit because anything that it says it contributed to a political party through electoral bonds will also be tax exempt for it. So you contribute 100 crores, your tax exemption comes to almost 30 crores out of it, right? So you benefit that, and when you sell it to somebody in cash, maybe you sell it 900 rupees to 1,000, right? So a 10% discount, 15% discount, but still you've benefited on tax. So this kind of racketeering can theoretically take place. However, to think that this will be really prevalent is a little bit tough because most corporates will not risk doing this. And most corporates, particularly those who might be buying bonds of a sizable amount, will not risk playing with this kind of cash. Maybe somebody buys bonds of 5 crores or 3 crores or 10 crores might conceivably do something like this, but not otherwise. So if such a thing has been done, then certainly you can say that full transparency will not be found. Now, full transparency not being found is much less worse than everything remaining completely opaque. So it may not be 100% transparent now, but I'll be surprised if it does not become 85-90% transparent, which is a big step forward for the quality of Indian democracy. And that's where we've seen the institutional strength of our most valued institution, that is the Supreme Court of India. That said, people also keep asking me, what is the problem with anonymous electoral bonds? It gets a bit complicated. Isne diya, usko diya, isne liya. It's the same for everybody. So what can I do when I get lost with things like this? When I get lost for an explanation, you know, one of the two things I lean on to, either it's cricket or it's Hindi film music. So in place of Hindi film music, it is actually something that a shayar wrote in the 18th century. That is Mir Taqi Mir. So Mir Taqi Mir, the famous poet of 18th century of Arabic origin, his great-grandfather had come in from Saudi Arabia. So his great-grandfather must have come in early Mughal era. Mir Taqi Mir died in 1810. He wrote a wonderful line which also featured in a film song, in a film called Ek Nazar in 1972. Which Lata Mangeshkar and Mohammad Rafi sang, and that was Patta Patta Boota Boota Haal Hamara Jaane, Jaane To Jaane, Gul Hi Na Jaane, Baag To Sara Jaane. Now, I tried translating this into Google Translate, so this is a disaster, but I will read out the translation to you, but I will also explain to you. It's like a pining lover saying, everybody knows the state of my heart. Everybody knows the state of my heart, except the person I'm pining for, right? So patta patta, every leaf knows the state of my heart. Every plant knows the state of my heart. The entire garden knows the state of my heart, but the flower, the one I'm after, the one I'm pining for, doesn't know the state of my heart. So in this case, apply this Mir Taqi Mir test to anonymous electoral bonds. Now, the guy who's buying the bonds knows I'm buying the bonds. They also know who I'm giving these bonds to. Guy who's getting the bonds also knows I've got the bonds, also knows who's given them to me. The bank that is issuing the bonds, it's a government bank, knows who's bought the bonds and who's in cash the bonds. Election Commission knows who's got the bonds, who's in cash the bonds. Bharat Sarkar knows it because it owns both State Bank of India and Election Commission of India. The one who doesn't know is the poor voter. So he is the equivalent of the flower of the gul here. Rest is patta patta, boota boota, sara baag, everybody knows what's going on except the one that matters, and that's the voter. What this order does is it also gets the message to that one most valuable person in the equation who had so far been cut out of it.